Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes reporter John Steppe. Certainly an interesting week in Iowa athletics. That might be an understatement. Of course, the whole Caden Proctor saga got the start of Caitlin Clark's last March Madness run. That starts tomorrow. As I record this on Friday, that starts tomorrow. Iowa men playing in the NIT. Nice win on Tuesday there. I'll give you some quick thoughts on each of those, and then I'll let you get back to your March Madness viewing this weekend. Gonna start with Proctor. 59 days. That's how long he was a Hawkeye. Less than 2 months. He committed, let's see, January 20th, and then told the team of his plans to leave on March 19th. Of course, he can't officially re-enter the portal until April 16th. So that does leave, let's see if I can do math today, about 3 weeks or so. No, 4 weeks or so. 3 or 4 weeks, somewhere in there, for him to potentially change his mind. And of course, he is a very talented player. So I think it would be hard for many teams to say no if all of a sudden he said, well, wait a second. But at the same time, he's now left Iowa at the altar now twice. First as a high school recruit. He flips right around signing day to Alabama. Then you have this predicament. And in terms of adding a little bit of salt into the wound, he did receive some NIL money. Now, important to clarify here that this is not, if you're one of the people who donates however many dollars a month or a year to Swarm, it was not your money that went to Caden Proctor. It was a corporate sponsor. I believe it's a car dealership, if I'm remembering correctly, that specifically was working with Proctor, but it was Swarm Inc., the corporate side that works with businesses, that paid him a portion of what he was expected to get over the course of a year. Brad Heinrich said that was about 15% of his annual income, he said in a radio interview this week. Important to clarify that, okay, he's not getting the, you know, individual donors' money, but it still does take a chunk out of Iowa's NIL war chest. Something that is not of infinite resource either. That's certainly something where however many dollars exactly that percentage works out to be, I'm sure Iowa would like to have that back. We'll see if there's a way of them getting that back. I'm not a legal expert by any means, but it's difficult when he's already done the sponsorship activity to all of a sudden be able to say, wait a second. Now, I will also note that the contracts do void, Brad Heinrichs explained, when he moves out away from Iowa. So he's not going to continue to get anything that he hasn't already gotten. On the field, though, the good news for Iowa is they still have an experienced group on the offensive line. Yes, you would rather have Caden Proctor. I think pretty much anybody would say that, no doubt about it. But it also is kind of hard to miss somebody that you never really had. Now, on the field, the good news is Iowa still has an experienced group. Obviously, Mason Richmond coming back, Connor Colby coming back, Logan Jones coming back. Jennings Dunker is someone that I thought improved a lot last year. Now you give the Solon Beef Days hay bale champion another year in the weight room and another year to really refine his game, especially now with spring practices beginning. And he can be a really capable offensive tackle for the next few years for Iowa. So you've got a lot of pieces coming back. You've got Nick DeYoung using his COVID year. He could be an option at that one starting guard spot that was vacated by Rusty Feth graduating. You could also see maybe a Tyler Ellsbury or a Bo Stevens potentially in that role. You've got options on this offensive line. You've got some depth, plenty of reasons for optimism on this offensive line as things currently stand. Again, you'd rather have Proctor than not, but still, it's not a terrible situation that this position group is in. Reasons for optimism, yes. Are there reasons for skepticism after the last few years? Yes. whatever happens with this offensive line, the experience is not the question mark there. The thing I'll be curious, kind of moving forward, kind of going back to NIL, is if it makes any donors a little more skittish about future contributions in terms of are people and how many people are canceling memberships or deciding, or if you're, say, a company that is sponsoring these athletes, are you concerned about, okay, am I about to sponsor somebody that's going to leave? And obviously what happens with Swarm is of vital importance to how competitive Iowa is. How willing are these donors to stick around despite this is going to be a question mark for Iowa. And the reality is this can happen again at Iowa. This could happen anywhere else too. So it is, a lot of this is just the day and age that we're in college sports, is until they become employees, which I think at some point will happen. You have a lot of collegiate administrators, either college sports administrators or university leadership at different schools, that really don't like the idea of being employees, of athletes being employees. But legally, that is a very likely scenario there. And if that happens, then you can have contracts where, okay, they do have to actually play for them to get paid. But right now, with this kind of patchwork NIL functioning as player compensation world, you're going to have things like this. So it's the world we live in. And then switching gears to Iowa women's basketball, start of the road for them tomorrow. This first weekend, you know, Iowa should be pretty well equipped for these games. Princeton is a respectable team, but I really don't see that being much of a challenge. That being said, Creighton did happen a couple of years ago, so you can't take any of these games for granted. But this first weekend, interesting matchups, but Iowa should be pretty well favored in both of those games. The Albany games are going to be interesting. Iowa, I do see as the favorite to get out of Albany, but you could have a couple interesting games. I look at Sweet 16, Kansas State, certainly a team that Iowa is familiar with this season, and Colorado, a team that really walloped LSU at the beginning of this season. So you've got some interesting matchups there, and the Elite Eight game in particular, that could be a tougher game than the Final Four matchup that Iowa would have. So UCLA, LSU, of course, three match from last year. It'll be an interesting path forward here in the Albany 2 region, which it still somewhat surprises me that they have not come up with better names for these regions than Albany 1, Albany 2, Portland 3, Portland 4. But nonetheless, my advice to fans is to savor this, enjoy this. We know it's the end of Caitlin Clark at Iowa. Obviously, there'll be plenty of time to watch her in the WNBA as well, but it is a end of an era, and it'll be, I think, a fun tournament to watch in terms of this being her kind of Iowa swan song. And then also, gotta mention the NIT. On the men's side, respectable win against a respectable Kansas State team. Obviously, Peyton Stanford, if he could have a game like he had against Kansas State every time, you'd feel pretty good about Iowa. Kansas State, a quality defensive team. So Iowa's offense did what it needed to do. And moving on to Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time, playing at Utah. This Utah team, it's a balanced team. When you look at them on KenPom, adjusted offensive efficiency, they rank 48th in the country. Defensive efficiency, they rank 44th. Not a great free throw shooting team, but they can shoot decently. So it'll be an interesting matchup, I think, for Iowa. Obviously, Brandon Carlson, he's certainly somebody to watch on Utah, as well as Davion Smith. So, interesting matchup. And all of a sudden, now Villanova losing elsewhere in the region, Iowa does have the potential to host another NIT game. When Iowa hosted against Kansas State, Fran was quick to credit the crowd, a crowd of, I think, is about 4,500 or so at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Obviously, that's about a third of capacity. I personally would think it would be an interesting proposition if they were to put that at Extreme Arena in Coralville. I think you look at, you've got 4,500 people in 15,000 seat Carver Hawkeye Arena, or if you take that same crowd and put that in Extreme, that's almost a capacity crowd. So that's gonna be a mostly full arena, and I think that would make for a really good environment. Obviously, there are a lot of logistical barriers in terms of making that happen, but that would be one possibility in terms of giving Iowa a little more of a home court advantage. The Heartlanders, the hockey team there, does not play there. I don't know about the rest of the Extreme Arena schedule, but some interesting food for thought there on your Friday afternoon. Well, that will do it for this edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, John Stepien. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Get a daily update from the Gazette with our daily news podcast. Add it to your podcast player or your Alexa-friendly device to get a bite-sized local news update each day. Check it out at thegazette.com/podcasts.